Now, you may have seen on the tables a grey, dull-looking sheet that says, "Welcome to our cafe-style service," and it begins with some questions to chat about Lent over coffee, because today's the second day of Lent, and there are some questions there about Lent, but halfway down the page it says, "Lent and lament." And sometimes lament is a forgotten aspect of Christian experience. So what does it mean, and how should we think about it? And sometimes it's good to have examples. So I want to begin with an example, because lament is so important that more than half the Psalms are lament songs. Songs in the Psalms we usually sing are triumphant, they're hopeful, they're joyful. But there's 71 Psalms that are described as lament. And lament has been described as an active process of a soul trying to wear out its pain. For example, someone like Jeremiah, who I'll speak about shortly. But if you read Psalm 60, verses 1 to 3, you'll capture some of what it means to lament and the pain of lament that the psalmist in this psalm is trying to be delivered from, are seeking to be delivered from. And pain and suffering and lament are a real part of life. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. It's Psalm 60. I said 63. So Psalm 60, verses 1 to 3. There's a long introduction about the tune and so on. And then he says, "Why have you rejected us, O God, and burst forth upon us? You've been angry, now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times, and you have given us wine that makes us stagger." And in the world today, sometimes we have to consume or drink wine that does make us stagger a bit and makes us feel hopeless and lost and seeking earnestly that God would come and deliver us. And that's what Psalm 119, part 9, Teth, is all about. So if we turn to that, that's the psalm for today, Psalm 119 at verse 65. And we'll read what it says. The psalmist is praying to God. He's been in a time of affliction. If you want to have a copy of these notes, there are plenty lying around. Would anybody like a copy? Thank you very much, Bethany. Anne put her hand up for Helen. So Psalm 69 at verse 65. "Do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what is good? Teach me your decrees. Though the arrogant have smeared me with lies, I keep your precepts within my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of gold or silver." So there's a kind of preciousness in the psalmist's experience. He's lamenting, but there's something very precious about the way he laments. And I'm just going to ask a question that you maybe have a chat about. Two or three times he mentions being afflicted. And I want you to try, and we can't guess what the nature of his affliction was, but we can think about the ways in which we as believers or as people are afflicted from time to time. What does affliction mean, and what are the examples of affliction that we've experienced or that we know about? There's a kind of global affliction just now, isn't there? What's it called? Coronavirus. And so that creates anxiety and confusion and uncertainty in people. But have a little chat around the tables about the nature of affliction, just examples of affliction. It could be spiritual, it could be moral, it could be physical, it could be financial, and so on. And maybe somebody's got a testimony that they've been afflicted with something, an illness or something like that. Just have a little bit of a chat amongst yourselves for 1 minute, and I'll try not to interrupt. But I'm trying to just give you a few ideas to chat about. Okay, I think that's long enough. You just get the flavour of chatting to one another. Afflictions can be for a moment, a short time. They can be long time, a long time health problem and so on, a long time financial problem, something like that. But what have you come up with? Can anybody contribute something to help us understand the nature of affliction, the areas in which we are afflicted as human beings? Addiction, good answer. Anything else? Can you want to give examples of addictions? Or?
Drugs, alcohol.
Gambling's a huge one in Scotland at the moment.
Relationships
can be addictive. Yeah, that's for sure. Anything else? Any other examples of afflictions that we can think about?
Anxiety,
yeah, that's a real issue in the modern world. Anything else? Am I getting deaf or are people speaking quieter?
Eating disorders,
yeah. I got my third certificate yesterday at Slimming World for losing more weight. Yeah, I've lost a stone and a half. It's pretty good. Thank you. What's that? I know. Okay, you've got the idea, affliction there. So this psalm is really about what I've called the impact of God's word upon the righteous situation. And I want to just teach a little bit from the psalm. Three areas in which the psalm or the word of God helps the psalmist, inspired by the Spirit of God. I was thinking earlier today about the story of Jesus and Nicodemus, and it must have been a kind of night time with a wind blowing outside, because they're having a bit of a conversation, and Nicodemus comes in quite bold and arrogant, and he said, "I know who I am, but who are you? You know, I want to hear a little bit about your identity, or your authority. There's something about you. You're doing miracles. You're creating signs and wonders." And there's a dynamic in the relationship that Nicodemus thinks he's the master of the conversation, and Jesus is the you know, in every conversation you have a kind of master-servant relationship. One's dominant, the other's recessive, and Jesus is the servant, and Nicodemus is thinking. And then Jesus says to him, "Hey, listen, sunshine." Well, he perhaps didn't say sunshine, but Nick, you've got to be born again. "What are you talking about?" And you can see the conversation change. Jesus takes the upper hand in the conversation, and you're kind of like a fly in the wall thinking, the dynamics of this conversation are really interesting. And then he says, "You've got to be born again." "What are you talking about? Can a man enter his mother's tummy and be born a second time, especially if he gets old?" And Jesus says, "You're not getting this, are you?" And here's the man who has the keys to the kingdom, Nicodemus. He's the authority in the synagogue, and he just doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about. And so Jesus begins to explain. You see, it's mysterious, it's powerful. The wind outside, the wind blows where it lists. You don't know where it comes from or whether it goes. And if you live in Aberdeen, you'll know a lot about the wind. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And there's a complete transformation in Nicodemus's life. He begins to discover a new identity, just a trace of what Jesus is saying. And the impact of the Word of God, the impact of the Word of God in Jesus, the Word of Jesus shared with Nicodemus brings complete change. And although he goes away bewildered, He's got something of the finger of Jesus in his life. And you see at the end of the story in John's Gospel that Nicodemus is then the one who is with Joseph of Arimathea providing for his burial. And there's that power and authority in the Scriptures. And I wanted to mention three things that the psalmist is in affliction, and the Word of God, the impact of the Word of God, brings deliverance from accusation. It brings desire, deep-rooted. The psalmist wants to know more of God, wants to know experience more of God. And it brings a kind of confession that the Word is his treasure. And you see at the end of the psalm, it says, your law or your word, the words from your mouth are more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and of gold. And that's somebody who's encountered affliction, seen the solution, experienced the solution through the Word of God, and enjoyed the transformation that the Word of God can bring and can impact people. Impact is a medical term, actually. To be impactful means something. Any medical folks here? Because I don't want to describe it. But it's something that helps to solve a problem. A personal problem, it can often mean change in people's habits. So being impactful, the word is here, impactful. And what I want to just mention is there's a sense in which when we honor the word, receive the word, accept the word, it changes our identity. And that's what I was talking about, why I was talking about Nicodemus. If you've got a Bible, can you turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5? Because this has been speaking to me all week. It begins, the word of the Lord came to me. That's came to me, Jeremiah. And he says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I, the Lord speaking in the first person to Jeremiah. What did I do? Before you were in the womb, I formed you. You were in my plan. You were in my purpose. And then I knew you. I formed you and I knew you. And that word knew in its root means intimate, the same way as a husband and wife are intimate, so close. And the Lord is saying to this prophet, before you were formed in the womb, before there was any idea of you, I formed you in the womb and I knew you intimately. And I think that's fantastic. Before you were born, I set you apart. So Jeremiah was set apart. He was born with a purpose, the purpose of God in his life. And I appointed you, I set you apart, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, what I want to just get us to wonder about is the detail of that. And detail for each individual, that God's Father heart, really, your unique identity is really framed and created in the mind and in the heart of God. And that should bring a number of things. It maybe will scare you. God knew me before I was born. Wow! But it should bring security to us. It should bring safety to us. It should bring deliverance to us, just to know how intimate God's knowledge of us is. Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, back to Lamentations and lament. You know, he wrote often about the pain and the suffering, the affliction which he had to endure. But he was able to face that, face being in prison, face being in a deep pit, because he had security, he had safety, he had certainty through the Word of God. So the Word of God was his deliverance. The Word of God was his desire, and the Word of God was his treasure. And I don't know if you're asking today about who you are or where you are, but there's a lovely little line that the Apostle Paul, he gets shipwrecked in chapter 27 of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. It's a real mess, real affliction. I don't really often get seasick, but if you know the cure for getting seasick, stand under a tree. So the only cure for seasickness is to get on dry land. The affliction, and they had to chuck everyone out and cut off the lifeboat and everything they did. And he says, the God to whom I belong, whom I serve. So Paul had the same sense of belonging, the same sense of identity, the same sense of purpose, because he knew that God was with him. And he went through lots and lots of afflictions. So all the people I mentioned today, Nicodemus, the psalmist, Jeremiah, and the Apostle Paul, all had a similar sense of their identity in Jesus. And the impact of the Word of God on their lives was profound and very, very enriching. And I hope that somehow today, even if... Have I done this before? I wonder where I can go to do it. I'll try the glass over here. Now, just watch me. If you can't see me at the back, it's not such a problem. But if I breathe on there, that's my breath. And it's going to evaporate soon. It's evaporated. Sometimes God does that. His word is God-breathed. And he'll just bring a trace or a breath of his word. You say, what happened there? That was new. That was special. That's the impact of the word. Because God is so gentle and so caring. He doesn't force his word on us. He doesn't twist our arms up our backs. Believe! He just breathes lovingly and gently. And if you sense that today, and certainly if you haven't sensed it before, that's the beginning of a journey that will help you to understand how wonderful and relevant God's word is. I had a little testimony just from yesterday. I was speaking somewhere last night, and often as happens, there's a word comes to confirm the message. And yesterday morning, Anne and I were reading together in Psalm 146. And I was quoting a Bible verse about how God cares for the poor, the needy, the broken, the fatherless, the widow, and so on. And it says this in Psalm 146, verse 9. The Lord watches over the alien or the stranger. He sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God is Zion for all generations. Praise the Lord. So the Lord watches over you. And if you feel this is a bit strange this morning, the Lord's got his eye over you. It's a loving eye. It's a caring eye. It's a compassionate eye. It's a gracious eye. And I would say this morning, it's a time to begin to just give thanks. Say, yeah, the Lord is doing something in me. He's shaping me. He's molding me. He's been doing this even before I was a glint in my parents' eye. And I'm here now, and I have this understanding. It may not be that clear, but even a vague understanding is an understanding of what God is doing. And through the pain, through the difficulty, through the tragedy and the difficulties of life, the psalmist is saying, yeah, God's word is full, it's rich, it's true, and it's pure, and it's his breath that encourages and blesses me. I'm going to say a short prayer, and then Bethany's going to come and play what will be a new song for us. I was a guest at the Christian Union, I think it was this week, on Monday. And they sang this song, and I just loved it. I'd never heard it before. I adored it. And Bethany, funnily enough, in Providence, had just printed it off. because she loves it too. So we're going to, it's a new song, so we're going to maybe listen a little bit and then sing it and maybe sing it again, and hopefully it'll linger, unlike my trace of breath, it'll linger in our hearts and minds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus to offer praise and thanks. Thank you for each one here, each one so unique, so different, each one whose DNA you have created, whose life, whose purpose was foreordained long before we ever thought we were ever thought of. Thank you that you formed us in the womb, that you framed us, that you care for us, that you love us, that you want us, and you want us to respond to your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.